Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Hot Dummies on Islands podcast feed. We are here recapping episodes 8 through 10 of Too Hot to Handle Season 3. I am your host, Kirsten McInnes, and I'm joined by a wonderful panel today. First, I'm going to welcome in, this is a fixture of the Too Hot to Handle coverage. He's been here every season. He's introduced terms such as full penne and falafel boy, but you probably know him from covering Big Brother on Fridays, the 90 Day Fiancé cinematic universe, as well as The Masked Singer. Pooya Zanvakili. Pooya, how are you?
I am delightful. I'm excited to talk here today. Not so much about the show, but who I'm going to be talking about the show with is what I'm excited about. But yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to dive in. I have thoughts, so we're going to go through them today.
Perfect. The show has thoughts too, Pooya.
ones. Not a lot of bright ones.
It's spelled different, but it's pronounced the same.
Nice.
We've got, anyways, again, continuing with this amazing panel. She was with me last season for the finale of Too Hot to Handle coverage and was brave enough to return. You know her as she co-hosted F-Boy Island with me. She is currently covering Joe Millionaire with Rob Sestrinino. Jenny Autumn, Jenny Hundredaire is here. Jenny, how are you?
I'm great. I feel emotionally bankrupt after the week of watching Too Hot to Handle, but you know, I'm here. I grew from it, and hopefully this podcast will put some money back in my emotional bank. So
yes, this podcast is a workshop. We're all going to grow as people together.
I won't talk to my yoni, I promise.
Oh Lord. Okay, and last but certainly not least, I'm so excited. I've never podcasted with this person before. You probably know her from Big Brother coverage, or I'm always watching her for those hockey tweets. Lavina Bell is here. Lavina, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm not exactly experienced in the Hot Dummies on Islands, you know, call it a trilogy or like a genre, or like, I guess it is a trilogy now if it's the third season, right? I guess it works.
Yes, it's the third season. That's right.
But like I said before, the podcast started recording. The only person that I would do this for is Kirsten. So I am here. I binge watched. I'm ready to go.
Hell yeah. I just was like, I need to find an excuse to podcast with Lavina. I just was like, I need this. I can't believe it's never happened. So I'm really excited. So I guess what we should start off, I'd love to get everyone's thoughts on the season thus far. I would like to say up top how offensive to me personally it is that I had to talk about the Yoni episode with Rob and Akiva. It was unacceptable, like morally, but we got through it.
The best part was I was watching that episode, like knowing that that was the podcast that you were doing with them. And like, I was literally like dying, being like, I cannot wait to hear Akiva talk about women talking to their yonis. Like, this is ridiculous.
Well, I turned on that episode. I saw the name of the episode and I was like, oh no. Oh no. But you know, we got through it. Pooya, what did you think about the season up to this point?
Season up to this point, I was enjoying myself. It was great. I feel like there were good moments. There were some dull moments, but then the people who were kind of dull, they took out, they put some new people in. I was very happy with the direction everything was going. Now to preface that and then to emphasize that, I'm saying I was happy. That happiness was taken away from me in two out of these three episodes, which we'll get to when we get to. But I mean, it's too hot to handle. It's always fun. It's easy to watch. I watched the first two episodes the night they came out, then listened to your podcast with Chappelle and Rob. Then I watched everything else, including listening to the two podcasts all yesterday. So it's all fresh on the mind here for me.
That is impressive.
Listen, I'm out here. What can I
say? That was a feat of endurance.
Yeah.
It was. Research. Also emotionally bankrupt now. Just want to make sure that's clear.
I mean, I've been emotionally bankrupt for a long time. Like, this season couldn't face me. I've been in these streets for so long. I can't feel anything anymore. I'm just like, ooh, they broke the rules. Something to talk about.
I mean, I feel like, I have watched all three seasons now. I know that they said at the beginning of season two or season three that this was the, I hate myself for saying this, the horniest group of people.
It was the horniest.
Benny, okay, said horny.
I know.
On the soundboard.
I'm quoting somebody, to be fair. And I just really don't recall the H word being like used so liberally in the previous seasons, but also I just could have, you know, conveniently blocked that out of my memory. But like, the thing about the H word that really drives me the most insane is the, like, the earnest use of it. It's not like if I hear it, I melt down, because like I can hear it talked about, but when people use it to earnestly describe how they're feeling, it is the yuckiest feeling. Like, it's bad. And these people will not stop, to the point where we'll get to this, but there was a team horny versus a team heavenly. Why are they doing this to me?
Well, I think it's because if you think about the origin of the word, it came from a saying, if you're feeling something down south, horny comes out of your mouth. I believe it was the great poet. One of them said it. I don't remember which one. I can't reference it, but that's where it comes from.
So, that sounds like a Chappelle tweet.
Maybe it was the great poet Chappelle.
Exactly.
Philosopher.
I can't. Okay. So
where do we go?
Even without him here on the finale, yeah, like, I invoke his name.
I'm like, do I just kick Puya out of the StreamYard for a minute so I can compose? I said, like,
once Jenny said that it was people using it earnestly, I thought, what's the most earnest way I could throw it back right after brought it up?
That was just so fast. Like, you just had it exactly ready. Like Puya had that in his holster, right? Like, he was like, perfect. Let me just get that
from
out
the producers
there
of Falafel Boy and Full Pasta. Like, here comes the latest hit.
It's the way Puya's always like, let me find a funny way to say something. And I'm like, you could just say we're on the Hot Dummies feed. You could just say pretty much anything you want, as long as it's not like a slur.
All right, cool. Well, I just said horny, so we can move
on. Yeah, so that's fine. Lavina, how was your experience watching this show for the first time? Like, how did it feel? What was that like for you?
So I am like famously not a fan of Netflix reality. It's kind of like a hate watch. I feel like I've told you this before, Kirsten. Like, yes. I've watched all three seasons of The Circle, and you know, it's fun. I just can't deal with the little things in Netflix reality. And I know that, you know, The Circle, obviously everybody cares about winning The Circle. Too Hot to Handle is not necessarily about that. Granted, yeah, they're all quote competing for a cash prize or whatever you want to call it, and there is a winner, but I feel like when you get rid of, when you, I guess, vote people out, similarly for The Circle, of course they vote people out, and then you add in new people in the middle of the show, I feel like you don't get as much time with those people, and you don't feel like they're ever going to have a chance to win on either of the shows. And I felt the same way when they brought in Jackson and the other guy whose name I cannot pronounce, but looks like Gary.
It's like Hetty.
I don't know. Everyone's British.
The R is like a D sound and the G is like an H sound.
I just kept calling him like Harry too. But then I was like, oh, wait, is that it? And this batch, I was like, oh, is that a D sound? And so I feel like I've been disrespecting him this whole time. Like, not on purpose. Like, there's obviously, I've disrespected him on purpose, but I didn't mean to disrespect his name. Right. So it's Hetty.
Right.
I believe that's how it's said.
But like, well, what did you want them to win? Like, Jackson and Hetty sucked.
Oh, God, no. I will get to that. But I mean, I'm just saying, like, I'm noticing similarities. And that's what, like, Netflix reality just, like, pisses me off. On top of, like, just kind of, like, the monologuing of the host. I don't need the corny, you know, little things from the host, like random little
bits. I'm with you on that, Lavina.
I just can't do it. I don't know. I don't know if that's just me being, like, picky, but...
It drives me crazy on the Circle too. I totally know what you mean. Like, that
it's like for an edgy reality TV show on Netflix. Like, the thing is like, since I've watched so much UK reality at this point, like, I'm kind of getting into the narrator thing.
I feel like with the UK host, I've never had this problem, but it's just like when it's come over to the American side, I've never enjoyed it as much. I don't know what it says about that. It just feels different.
It's tough.
It's like Stevan saying fit and fancy like he's British and it just doesn't land.
Shut up. Stevan should just never speak. That's my bold take here.
I would also prefer that.
I do also want to cover, before we get into what actually happens on the show, did you know that three of these contestants got arrested on their way home from shooting this show?
Yes. And this is why I could not. I read that article before, like when I was only a couple episodes into the season. Mm-hmm. So it colored my perspective of these people to the point where I could not feel good or happy for anything that happened to them because I was like, you are shitty humans.
Yeah. So, okay. So on Too Hot to Handle, they're only allowed to have two drinks a day. So they're not, they don't really get drunk. And all of these people, I think, are pretty experienced drinkers who would like to drink more. So on the flight back to the UK, Harry, Beau, and Jackson were all arrested and later fined £3,000 each for abusing British Airways staff. I guess they were like up out of their seats drinking. They got refused more alcohol and got really like aggressive. Jackson told who, first of all, just so everyone's aware, Jackson's real name is Matthew. Just for the record, I just learned that from this article. Matthew Jackson Mawinney. He
is
told,
it his middle name?
I don't know. It's in quotes, so I don't know.
He a real told Robert this, Truth situation. On yeah.
He told the staff to look up who my mom is after he was refused alcohol. Because his mom is the former attorney general.
Okay, she's not the queen. Relax.
Beau and Harry were kissing and behaving intimately in their seats, and people really thought that they were gonna have sex on the plane. And then they were also aggressive when they were reminded to wear face masks and told they couldn't have any more alcohol. The full quote from Jackson is, "Go and effing look up who my mum is, Baroness Scotland. I'm a gold card holder. Go and get me a drink." He received a written warning from the captain, which he then crumpled up into a ball and threw across the cabin. And then he got up during the fight and started doing push-ups despite the fasten seatbelt sign being on.
This changes my whole perspective on what I was going to talk about. I was going to be super excited for the winners.
I know. Beau said, "Take my effing tray away. Don't you know I'm an effing secretary? I will take your job away from you." Which, like, ma'am, you're a secretary. Like, it's a hard job and someone's got to do it. But that doesn't mean you could take someone's job away. And then when a fellow passenger attempted to intervene, she told them to shut up, you effing C word.
Ooh.
Some of these quotes sound like she's being like self-deprecating to herself and thinks it's funny, but it's like so obnoxious. It's like, and she's probably so belligerent that it's like this is not a cute joke. Like, you're being actually so offensive right now.
Yeah. And they're all just like, "Oh, our behavior was so bad. It's never happened again. And we're all embarrassed." And it's like, yo, I don't know what's more embarrassing, this news article or that you went on Too Hot to Handle. Cause like, that's brutal. Like, it's just so embarrassing. So, yeah, they literally all got arrested on their way home from filming this show because they just didn't know how to behave in public.
Just spending that money on fines.
Yeah, well, at least I hope that, I guess Jackson comes from money.
Yeah.
And Beau and Harry won the show so they could afford it. But that doesn't justify the behavior.
That is the thought process of all of the people on the show. They're like, "Oh, we got a little money to spend. Let's just make some terrible decisions."
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't change as soon as the show's over. We want some money. Let's get a couple fines. Have a great time on this flight.
They're like, a rule break. Sorry, Captain.
I think Lana's driving the plane.
Well, my thing is like, okay, so it was 90,000, which was the cash prize, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a couple, so they split it in half. So what? That's like
45,000.
45K.
So 45K, you can easily, I feel like this news article is not making me feel any better about this, but like, I feel like they would easily blow through that within, you could literally blow through that in like a week or 2 weeks, especially if there's taxes taken out.
I would blow through that money in like a day because I'd be like, okay, we're paying off the credit cards and put some money on the student loans. And I'd be like, oh, I have no money anymore.
Yeah.
That's not where blowing through it though.
Yeah.
Like, you're being like responsible.
Yeah.
I would probably
be like, you know what? I'm going to keep like 5K for myself, you know, just because I'm like buy something like stupid expensive with it when I could have been responsible. But you know what? You got to live your life too. But yeah, so I just can't stop thinking about I'm an effing secretary. I'll take your job. Like, I can't.
You're like, who are you, Draco Malfoy? My father will hear. Shut up.
Like, she's a legal secretary, which is basically my job.
Is it an is or a was? Oh, no, wait. Yeah, you're talking about real. Bo. Yeah.
Yeah, Bo.
Yeah, come on.
And stop it's it. Like, I don't think I could get away with anything by being like, listen, I'm a legal assistant.
My name is like, Kirsten McInnes. I host a podcast.
My God.
Heard of podcasts on islands.
I feel like you couldn't get away with that in a Starbucks line, let alone on a flight. Like at a Starbucks line, like, I'm a legal secretary. Yeah. And you will get your macchiato like everyone else when your turn comes up.
Back of the lines over here, buddy. Yeah. Like, calm down. But like, especially like on a plane in the middle of the pandemic, like.
And not wearing masks.
You can't be messing around on planes. That's our public service announcement.
100%. I mean, ultimately, it's like, well, these people all kind of forget where they were in the world when they're in this island all swapping tongue and like doing whatever that comes to them. So
and it comes fast.
So, sooner than you think. Sooner than you think.
Exactly. Well, you know, I just am appreciative that Jackson's on reality television continue to stay trash. And so it's a long-standing legacy here.
Mm-hmm. True.
They really are all bad. Listen, if anyone's considering naming their child Jackson, I would advise you to reconsider because it's a bad path you're creating for them there.
Who knows what reality show will exist by the time they're of age to go.
My favorite thing is how Big Brother changed his name in the middle of the season. They're like, oh, no, that's not Jackson. That's Mickey, by the way. That's a new guy. He's better.
He's nice, different, guys. He's a different person.
Yeah. Hey,
he's not who he was before.
Don't slander Chris Kilpatrick's favorite player, okay? So I will not hear it.
He doesn't even know who he is.
Defending already? Lavita, season started.
Wait, who did he choose as a favorite player?
He said one of his favorites was Derek, and then the other was Jack from a couple of years ago because he was from Nashville. But then we found out he meant Jackson Mickey.
That's a rough look.
Well, he also said Xavier, so I think what he did is he literally Googled winners.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll give him a second chance for you, Lavina. Okay, so I guess we could talk about. So episode 8 is the episode where Lana's offline. She had a virus. She had to shut down because this is the biggest test yet. And if they pass the test, her work is almost done. And if they fail, there's going to be some sort of intensive process for the rest of it. Now, first of all, obviously they did not pass this test. But second of all, there was no intensive process, unless they mean like what Nathan had to do. But that was only for one person.
It wasn't for everyone.
Really,
the other people that, I mean, aside from losing all their money, which was going to happen anyway, the others didn't really face any sort of consequences, even though obviously Nathan and Holly are like the biggest offenders here.
They lost
almost all prize money themselves.
Almost all of it was them. Almost all of it was them.
All the big stuff was them. So,
I mean, if we do the math, it was 90K here. Then it was like 30 some thousand a couple episodes ago. But then with the failed wager, they did 200K plus themselves. Yeah. Just themselves.
Embarrassing.
Yeah.
So I think that it was just predetermined for Nathan to do that workshop, I guess. I feel like it was just predetermined. It was never going to be anybody else.
It couldn't be.
No, yeah, there's no, they couldn't even make an argument for it to be anyone else. What I love is instantly, like, I feel like mostly the women, but also, I guess Jackson, were like, I don't believe that it's really off. I think that she can still see things because it's like, well, yeah, the cameras are on. Like, obviously, they're going to know what you do. But, like, Nathan and Harry and Izzy and Hetty were like, we can have sex. Let's do it. Let's all just fully have sex right now.
It's the time.
Yeah. But I also, what I loved about this is they set it up as Team Heavenly was Holly, Bo, Jackson, and Georgia, and Team Horny was Nathan, Harry, Izzy, and Hetty. And they just didn't include Olga, Steb, or Patrick. They're just not on any team.
Or Obi.
Or Obi. Yeah. Oh, poor
Don't
Obi.
Don't forget about our Toronto mans.
Toronto mans.
Poor Obi. Like, oh, nobody liked Obi, and he just was like, maybe I'll win some money. Like, he was such a non-entity on this show.
This is the thing with bringing people in late like this. Like, there's literally no universe where anyone that wasn't in the initial cast is winning this money. And, like, I also feel like as soon as the Brianna and Nathan Holly. Thing didn't be, and like the fight didn't even really happen between Brianna and
I will never
Holly.
Forgive production she, for that.
She was like not even on the show. We kept on seeing like it looked like Obi and Brianna were like sharing a bed, like in the all the morning scenes they were like cuddled up, arms linked and stuff. No storyline. We don't even know if they like each other at all. They were completely yada yada. So. They were not like, even included in these teams.
Like, I literally feel like you said he was a non-entity. I feel like half the cast was a non-entity. Like, maybe they started off a certain way, but, like, then Steven, I'm saying that right?
Yeah, Steven. No, that's correct, yeah.
Like, Evan with S-T.
Okay. Yeah, like, he, in the beginning, was, like, very thirsty. We're like, who am I going to get with? Who am I going to get with? And then everybody basically turned him down. And then now he's just like, okay, well, I guess I could try to win the money now. And then literally everybody else, like I was going to bring this up later, but Patrick as a character, what is he even doing there by the end of it? There, he's like
the glue, Lavina.
he's the god. He's the leader.
He's
like,
very important to this family.
They were broken when he left.
Celibate king.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's keeping up that celibacy.
Oh, definitely not. I don't think any of them are.
I just find it hard to believe people want to sleep with Patrick, but like,
cosign,
whatever.
Not understanding that.
Listen, but couple drinks, the guitar comes out.
No, the guitar comes out. I'm fucking running.
No, like, same.
That's, and I think I like that's a good warning for everyone. If you are on a date and that date pulls out a guitar, run. You're in danger.
I mean, make them play Wonderwall once, then leave for the memes.
Oh my god.
But you don't have to stay after that.
It's a story to tell.
Yeah.
That is a story. That is definitely a story to tell.
His freestyling of lyrics though, like, is like, it's unintentional comedy. So you really are getting a free show. It's just not the one you think. Like, you think he thinks he's giving you like a musical performance, but really he's doing like stand up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
So true.
When he thinks he's John Legend, but's giving you Bo Burnham, that kind of vibe.
No, that's insulting to Bo Burnham.
I mean, of course. But yeah.
Bo Burnham is a better musician and comedian.
Again, Bo, no one's disagreeing down with you here. No one is disagreeing.
I could see the tweets coming in. I just wanted to get ahead of it.
Get ahead of it.
Someone is racing to be like, absolutely, Patrick cannot compare to Bo Burnham.
Have you even watched the latest special? I haven't.
Yeah. Oh, I have. Yeah, Inside. It was really good.
You even Netflix, bro?
It made me it made me cry, Booyah.
I know. That's why I didn't watch it. It was three out of Liana's five Spotify Wrapped songs were from the Bo Burnham.
I feel like a lot of people.
I saw a viral tweet when Spotify Wrapped went out, and I need to share it right now, that said, if Bo Burnham is in your top five, don't share that shit with anyone but your therapist.
Wow.
You're not okay.
The facts, though.
So I'm worried about Liana now.
Yeah, she's completely fine. As far as can we
that's
talk
what
about
you would say?
Can we talk about the infractions during the offline period and who did what?
Izzy and Jackson do kiss, but Jackson is suspicious the whole time that it's a test. You know, because he's learning a lot here. Okay,
How deep?
I love that, like, he was the one man on, apparently, on Team Heavenly, and he had the, like, the willpower of, like, like a wet piece of, like,
I
toilet
mean,
paper.
To be fair, at the end of the night, Izzy goes, let's have sex, and he says, we better not. So that's pretty good willpower.
But he still spent money. Like, at that point, it's kind of like, I'm not congratulating you for not having sex. It's like we've been saying all along. Like, if anything, I'm judging you for, like, spending money on multiple kisses and, like, not getting it in. I am telling you, the only reason Nathan and Holly were ever able to get to a place where they could spend a night in the overnight suite without banging is because they banged during the offline.
1,000%. 1,000%.
Yeah.
These people are just dumb. They're making bad choices for themselves by not having sex and wasting money numerous times on, like, weak ass kisses. Like, so I don't like, I'm not going to congratulate Jackson for being like, oh, I only wasted $6,000.
Yeah.
But I'm still, like, going to be tempted to do it again. It's like, just do it then.
Ultimately, if you're spending money on, like, three kisses throughout the season, you're pretty much just paying to enhance that feeling of blue balls of, like, oh, we just didn't do anything. And now it's made me want you more. And now I'm burning inside. If you had done it, then you're good. Then you can focus on the emotional connections that you can make because you've been distracting yourself by not doing this. I 100% agree with you, Jenny. I feel like, and like, I know, Kirsten, you've talked about this where you've done the math on, like, if they kiss six times versus, like, doing it once, like, it's about the same. So, like, why aren't you just doing that?
And this is where, and this is the thing. If they're like, okay, I'm not going to have sex, whatever, fine. Masturbating costs less than one kiss.
Yeah.
Jack off.
Yes.
Like, I just, like, last season, Lavina, for you, because obviously you didn't watch it. Last season, we had an iconic moment where one of the, like, worst rule breakers was like, I just need to jerk off and then I'll be able to follow the rules. So he had all of his bros guard the door so he could jerk off in the shower. And then he didn't break the rules again. He just needed to jerk it once and then he was fine.
But yeah, I will say it is cheaper, but I think a lot of them think that it is embarrassing to do. I think it's a lot more embarrassing for them to do that alone than to be, like, doing something in a couple, because with the look on Harry's face when he found out people were going to find out, he wanted to melt into that room and
but
leave.
Do you know what I think is embarrassing? Being like, I just lost $6,000 for a freaking kiss. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't understand. That's the one thing that I was confused about. I was coming into this, again, having not seen anything before. Yeah. So I was coming into this like, oh, everyone's going to be having sex and the like cash prize is going to be $0, which it was, but it was only because of Nathan and Holly. I really thought everybody else was going to be breaking rules, but they were breaking rules for the stupidest things, like a kiss and literally nothing else. I was like, okay,
yeah, there was like, it was kisses. Weird. There was one, Jackson and Izzy did some hand stuff.
Some sort of hand thing. Yeah.
Right.
A blank touched a blank.
Touched a blank intimately.
Intimately. Yeah.
So it's like, we know it was intimate. They got a fine. We know, like, you don't have to say it like that, Lana. And I think
stigmatizing the masturbation, but I also kind of see what we're saying here where it's like, I think if their aim is, like, because to have a better chance of winning the show, you need to show that you're, like, opening up yourself emotionally. And also, if you're hoping for future green lights on your watches, you need to put yourself in a place where you can do that with somebody. And I think the chances of that happening after you've had sex with the person, you got that out of the way, and then oh, I feel so much closer to you now. Like that is the best use of the money, because yeah, like the buildup of, you know, multiple kissing, because you're like, feel like, oh, just a little bit. Like, no, you're just going to keep spending that money. And even the wanking, while it's the cheapest thing on the menu and it might, you know, get something out of your system, I think if all your ultimate aim is to win the show and maybe, or be, at least be in the running to win the money, and also have the chance of getting a green light if you're in a couple to be able to do stuff for free at some point, just get it out of the way. Yeah,
so I think that the winning strategy for Too Hot to Handle is you go in and you go in hot. You break a lot of rules to start. You are kissing, you are touching, you are breaking the rules. And then you pick the one person that's going to be your person the rest of the season. And you have one really bad rule-breaking night in the overnight suite with them. Then you start opening up emotionally. It could be lies. You can make it up. It's fine. You start having conversations with them. Then you will get the opportunity to go back into the suite with them to earn the money back. And then you've grown the most. Boom. Money won.
Yeah. We like, well, during this, and again, I went into this early, you know, having a different opinion about Harry and Beau. I started to feel like Harry is seeing the writing on the wall about how to win this show, and like is just committed to the assignment. And I couldn't see it in a sincere way at all, because I'm like, nope, he knows what to say to get the green light to go off. He knows what he needs to say about Beau to, you know, like make the producers happy and be like, look, these people really took this seriously. And like, look within themselves. And like, that was the perfect storyline that they want to award at the end. So
the thing is too, at the end of the day, Harry is a short fuck boy. Okay.
Wait, how tall is Harry?
I think he's not that tall compared to the other men there. Like, he was taller than Obi, but I think that's pretty much it. And I think that in like the heteronormative world that we live in, if you are going to be a fuckboy and you're going to be short, you have to be smooth as hell, and you've got to be using your brain to overcome that. So I think that Harry just like by like virtue of who he is outside of the villa is like a strategic mastermind for Too Hot to Handle. He knows what to tell Beau and what to tell the cameras in order to play it off of each other to win the game. Like, he just knows.
It did
what
feel
to
like
say.
He was gaming the system a little bit. So
that
adds up.
Also, like, nobody else is going to be strategic on this show. They come into this thinking, oh, well, this is like, what was it? Pleasure Island. Like, this is going to be a fun time. Yeah. Like, that's their mentality. It's hard to shift it into like a strategic competitive reality show mindset. Like, the only person would be Harry. And it was like, at first, like Jenny was saying, you know, I had a different mindset about Harry and Beau before hearing what I just heard, but I didn't think that Beau was as strategic as Harry was. I think it was mostly Harry who was, you know, behind the wheel.
It's the way, there is a reunion of this cast on YouTube. I haven't
watched it earlier.
Harry and Beau are not together anymore. They broke up because they, like, even though they live in the same country, they don't, like, live too far apart, which totally adds up, because from everything I know about the UK, like in Canada, people will go on like a 3-hour drive for like nothing. But like in the UK, people are like, oh, it's an hour away, not a chance. Like, I'm not doing it. And so like,
because
it does add up.
So much closer in relation. Like, yeah, it's like, I could be in another country in like 3 hours. Like,
yeah. And they're like, but I don't like, it's too far. I don't want to do it. Right. So I get that. But yet, they're going to go on a vacation together to celebrate their win. So like, they know what they're doing to like try and make the most of like the bit of clout that they're
they will take the Instagram photos needed together to get enough excitement that maybe they're still a thing, or maybe they'll end up together. Mm-hmm. They're not smart people, but there is a certain amount of business savvy.
They're calculated. They're not smart. They're calculated.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
I mean, what's funny is that if you go on the Wikipedia page, I'm reading it right now, it has that after filming, are each couple still together? And all of them say no, except Beau and Harry. I literally looked at this yesterday and it said nothing, but now it says yes, still together. And it added, on the reunion, they revealed that they have broken up, but their recent Instagram posts suggest they got back together. Yeah. So I guess it's working. Wikipedia fell for it.
Oh, that's so embarrassing. That's so embarrassing. but yeah, so speaking of Harry and Beau, Harry is like, we are going to fully have sex. And Beau is like, oh, it's so hard not to have sex with you, but I want to follow the rules. Like, I'm scared things will change after we have sex. Like, okay, Beau, whatever.
His name is Harry Johnson?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
What? Harry Johnson 92 on Instagram. I'm fucking dead. No.
When the UK and the US meet, that name becomes incredible. I'm sorry.
His name is Harold, okay?
Not Harold.
That is Harry Johnson. That's a cartoon.
Your winner, folks. Harold Harry Johnson.
Oh my god.
Like, oh my god. Okay. People I know who follow him, Phil Paquette, Jackie from EBCan4, and then, I don't know who this person is, so I won't say their
Melinda. I follow Melinda, so from last season, and Melinda follows Harry. Why am I following Phil Paquette is the bigger question.
I mean, honestly, same.
I've got some red flags and those followings. Okay. All right.
Listen, I'll have to go through and do a purge. Not Harry Johns. I don't know. Where do you go from there?
Sorry to interrupt, but I was
No. That's crucial information that we needed and the listeners needed. One thing I loved about episode 8 is that Patrick is like, you know what? I'm going to stay in the suite to make sure nobody comes in here to hook up. I thought that was very funny. Specifically because he leaves at bedtime and sleep in the suite, Patrick. Yeah.
And Nathan and Holly are unaccounted for at this point. He came back to the bedroom and they clearly were not in their bed. So like you abandoned your guard.
And like, I think what he was thinking was, okay, no one came into the suite. Now everyone will be in the bedroom. I can keep an eye on everyone and be like, don't do it. Don't have sex. But you have to make sure everyone is in the bedroom before
you can stuff their bed with pillows. Like, did he not notice that they weren't in the bed?
I just can't.
I have a question. Is the archetype of Patrick, not even just like how he looks and like whatever, is his like dad of the island character a common thing on this show?
Yeah, there's normally always one person who like doesn't really click with anyone and then just really cares about the money and not losing the money. Like in season one, Kells kind of played that role and he went on to go on to the challenge. So like it's not a bad archetype to be.
It's because Kells didn't really come through as like I'm the nice guy who wants everyone. He was just like, y'all are stupid. There's money on the line.
He's like, this is money. Who was it in season two though?
Why am I picturing like a dude with long hair? And I can't decide if it was from Love Island or was from.
Yeah, because when you say that, all I can think of is Jeremy from Love Island.
That might be who I'm thinking of.
I would like to not think of that.
Yeah.
I hate one of them. So last season, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, but that's the... Okay, first of all, Lavina, there has never been anyone like Patrick on this show. He truly was unique. I will give him that. He made me cringe on multiple occasions, but he did give us some gold, and thank God he did not make a connection with anyone, because I don't think I could have handled that. It would have been not too hot to handle, it just would have been too cringe to handle. But that's the thing, is like if someone strikes out, they just turn into the person that's like, guys, the money. It's like, honey, you are never going
to
win.
Like, you're not getting the money. Yeah. Like maybe season one, all of the finalists got to share the money. So they got like $3 each. But like in the new jury format of Too Hot to Handle, it's like you're never winning the money.
But they didn't know, right? Like they, because this was recorded back to back.
I guess, yeah, I guess they didn't
had to told them at some point, because all of a sudden they just started saying like who is going to win the pot. And so like at this, so we're made to believe that they knew what Too Hot to Handle was because they had seen season one, or at least knew about season one. But because it was filmed right after season two, they didn't know how season two went. So they were able to use the same sort of tropes. But at some point, like production must have filled them in that like not all of you are going to win the money, because all of a sudden people started like talking about like who's going to win, and it wasn't like a big surprise to them. They're like, oh, like we're gonna find out who the finalists are. There wasn't any talk of like, wait, we're not all getting the money, which like they had to have been filled in at some point.
That makes sense. I guess we should talk about that when we talk about the final vote. Back to the hookup. Nathan is scheming to get with Holly. They've been breaking rules since day one. Let's stay consistent. He just grabs her and kisses her, and then we have a confessional of Holly being like, how am I gonna resist Nathan? Well, I won't. And they go into the hideaway together to have sexy times in there.
And they should have just done that the first night that they were in there, because they didn't win back any money that night either.
Yeah.
So to be clear, you will say fuck boy on your podcast, but then you'll say sexy times like with a Z.
Yeah, because
she likes that's just what she likes to call it.
That's definitely what I call it in real life too. On Kowski Cast, that would have been called an intimate moment. Is that better? Boy.
No,
that doesn't seem like it's the whole. Okay, all right.
They went full penne. Okay. Are you happy now, Booya?
Yes, very much so.
We also got Hedy wants to get physical, and his thing is that he thinks people will get turned on with him talking like super futuristically. Like he starts talking to George about how he wants kids and he wants to settle down. Like he thinks this is going to get her going.
Yeah. Well, didn't it come out that he like swindled Whitney from BB23? And so it's like, what works on her, who was already a mother to kids, where he was like apparently like being like, oh my God, I can't wait to like have more kids with you.
He,
and like,
he
I'm like,
proposed stepdad.
So hold on. It's not a one size fits all like scheme, bro. Like
yeah, like there's a TikTok from Whitney that actually is from 2020, before he ever went on the show, of like they would talk on the phone, she said, 12 hours a day.
Wait, that's him?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
And it's Hedy from Too Hot to Handle season 3.
Crossover Whitney. Event of the, yeah. of the
Whitney,
year.
Come on.
I know. And the thing is I have seen a lot of people talking about how this behavior that Hedy is showing to Georgia is love bombing. I don't think that's quite it. But I do think that when you take into account the Whitney stuff, it gets very muddled into like what is going on
here. It very much does seem like his move is to go all in and seem very, very interested, solely interested in you. Very future focused. Like, yeah, like I see a future with you. I want to settle down. I want to have kids. Telling them what he thinks that they want to hear.
Yeah.
And in some cases it lands. Someone like Whitney, who is a mom and is maybe a little bit older and is future focused, but like it's not landing for Georgia, who doesn't like anyone, quite frankly, and is, I think if it's not quite, if we're not seeing the perfect example of love bombing, it is kind of like of the same vein of just pummeling them with interest. When it's not sincere.
It's bad. Like, it's not good. It's not good behavior. It's definitely something to be cautious of if you're out here dating people when they start acting like that really fast. I personally am a prime candidate for love bombing, because I believe that someone could fall in love with me in like 2 days. I'm like, yeah, that adds up. I'm great. Like, of course they would instantly want to be with me forever.
Do we know how long this was, like, this filming
this
was?
Show, because this filmed maximum 10 days. Like, that's max. Like, and Eddie got there late.
Yeah, that's so, so wild to me. Because I don't even think that Nathan and Holly or Harry and Beau should be dropping the L word. And I'm someone who can move fast. Like, I'm sorry. This is absolutely wild to me.
As soon as the album was dropped, that was the first question on my mind. How long has filming been? If it's like a Big Brother situation, 3 months, okay, maybe. You know what? That's completely a different situation. But I Googled it. Clearly, Google has no idea because it said 2 months. So
there's no way.
Why did there's I believe?
Not a chance.
Why did I believe that?
Like, I firmly believe that this is a 7 to 10 day filming period. Maybe 2 weeks if you're freaky. Like, I don't know. But like, ridiculous. They just like I nothing happens. Like, I just don't. Like, I don't think that's. That's right.
What do you mean nothing happens? Yeah. They have numerous self-growth workshops with the same two people they hired.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Georgia does not hook up with Eddie because she doesn't think talking about having kids is sexy, which I think is totally understandable considering where she is in her life and like physically.
But that's what it could lead to. Isn't that how it works? It's like...
I feel like that's
manipulation.
Like, yeah, 100% manipulation. Yeah, because he, like, again, as Jenny said, like, he's trying to tell her what she wants to hear to get her to bed.
Was not what she wanted to hear.
There's a People.com article where they asked some of the producers some questions. This is from the first season. That season was filmed for about 21 to 25 days. So
okay,
3 weeks max, I feel like, especially these two are done like peak pandemic. So even then, I feel like for me, especially Too Hot to Handle more than any other show where there's romantic involvement and like good looking people, the minute someone says love, I know that they're about to finish the show. I know it's about to wrap up because that's when everyone's going to start trying to go for the money. And they're like, oh, I guess like the only thing that left to say is I love you now. And like, no, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're Patrick. Patrick might just mean it genuinely.
But yeah, Patrick's hard to say. Patrick on day one is like, let me tell you I love you and also my balls are blue.
It rhymed, okay?
He's a musician. A poet, okay?
He meditated on the thought. You know what?
He was trying to meditate on some thoughts.
That's perfect. So Harry then is like super thirsty, but he can't find Beau, which I like how he thinks if he can find Beau, like she'll change her mind now. Like that to me was very funny. I liked how they edited it where like you see like the multiple of him on the screen over time as he's like looking around the pool area, trying like keeps popping out. I thought that was funny. And he's like, you know what? I'm gonna jerk off in the shower. And he's like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. I can't tell anyone.
There's cameras.
Like, you're on TV, bud. I also feel like if these people had a brain cell, I feel like on like a normal day when they're having a shower, they probably could like jerk off discreetly without the camera.
And get away with it.
Like, I think at least like you could definitely do that and get away with it, I feel like.
Yeah.
If you like
absolutely
don't make a whole scene. Like he's like got his one hand against the wall, like looking in the corner. Like he's not getting away with anything. But like I think you could be discreet and you could get away with it.
Mind you, given some of the things we've learned from watching Big Brother feeds, like I don't know how often the camera is on the shower unless something's been built up so that people know something is happening, but perhaps they could figure it out no matter what.
Well, yeah, that's maybe. The thing is that in order to know that you can get away with it, you have to try. And then if you fail, everyone will know. So this goes back to, again,
it's a risk. Yeah,
they don't want anyone to know that they did that. So like that's what will make them be a little bit more apprehensive.
We got to destigmatize masturbation. Mm-hmm. Like, listen, like. It is not embarrassing. It's not embarrassing. Make yourself feel good, you know? And it's been a long pandemic. If you need it, you need it.
And it's probably the best, like, financial choice for these people.
Yeah, financially speaking, it is the best decision on this show. Mm-hmm. And I'll beat that drum till the day
I die. Be economical. Masturbate.
Yeah. That's that out of context of this whole podcast and show, like, that's crazy.
If you quote that and put my handle, I will unfollow your account, whoever you are. I'm just letting you know right now. Do not do it.
You are attracting.
Listen, I will retweet it, but I will also unfollow you in solidarity of Puya.
Don't do it.
We can block. How about that?
We'll block your perfect ass.
Oh, how the turntables.
Basically then the only other thing that happens that night is obviously Nathan and Holly go into the suite where Patrick has left. Jackson says no to full sex with Izzy. And then it's the next morning and Lana is rebooting.
Can I just ask, why was Hetty crying over Patrick leaving? He just met this man. Like,
That didn't happen yet.
I thought you said Patrick left.
Patrick left the suite. Patrick
the suite. Sorry.
That away yet.
I thought you were like, yada yada, he leaves.
Like, yeah, we will talk about that.
Okay,
in 2 minutes we'll be there.
Sorry, I think you were yada yada, leaving.
I would never. Don't worry. I could never. I would never do that to you, us, or the listeners. I love Lana wakes up and goes, a virus shut me down. Or so you thought. Like, they've really leaned into making this stupid air freshener Alexa thing into, like, a character this season. Like, she had a confessional.
Yeah.
Lana said, bitch, you thought.
Literally. Literally. And so we go through, we get all of the infractions. And this is, like, what I like this season is that once someone owns up to it, Lana tells what they did and what they lost the money for, where I feel like that happened less in the other seasons.
Yeah, it was like ambiguous before a little bit.
It was more like, well, you lost $24,000 yesterday. And it's like, well, fair enough. And so this time, so Jackson and Izzy lost $6,000 for a kiss. Harry lost $4,000 for his alone time in the shower. And remaining was then $36,000, and Nathan and Holly more than spent that in the private suite. So they are down
40. Would it have been 40 that they actually spent?
No, 90.
So that's my question is, would it have been? Because I was confused about that. I thought that the $90,000 was the combined of what they had lost both times in the
suite. That's what I thought too.
So I just I don't fully understand how it is.
Because
I don't think sex is $45,000 on this show.
I thought it was 20.
I thought Harry and Francesca lost $20,000 when they had sex.
But all the fines are doubled.
Yeah, so it would have been $40,000.
That's why I said 40.
But they did it twice.
No, they only have sex once.
You do get charged. I guess you do get charged per time.
Wait,
you
know, did they have sex more than one time?
Honestly, good for them. If they went in there and had sex twice, good for them. I hope it was good. I hope they both had a fantastic orgasm. Like, good for them.
45 minutes long. Patrick taught them.
Yeah, I hope Patrick's meditation worked out for them. But yeah, so there's no money left. And what I loved the most about this is Patrick blames himself for Holly and Nathan having sex. Like, Patrick, you couldn't have stopped it. If you'd been in the private suite, they would have just gone somewhere else. Like, they were going to have sex no matter what.
Yeah.
It's not your fault.
They would have gone somewhere else.
Like, this reminded me, this is like a totally unrelated story, but like, one of my best friends, her and her now husband, like, went on like a 4-hour road trip to see her family. They left like at 10 p.m., got 2 hours out, realized she had left her phone, so they had to turn around and go back.
Ooh.
And then her now husband goes, oh, this is my fault. I need to do a better job of helping you keep track of your things. And that's what this made me think of, which I think is why I thought it was so funny.
Definitely your fault.
Yeah, like it's like no, she forgot her phone. Like it's not your fault. But he's just like, such a very good boy is what we call him.
Yeah, find you a man like that.
That he was like, oh, I need to do a better job of helping you keep track of your things. Patrick's if only I'd stayed in the suite. But
I
also,
mean, he could have at least waited until they got into the bed. Like,
yeah,
That's what I take issue with. He went back to the room and they weren't even there. And he's like, okay, I think everything's under control.
Yeah, he didn't go looking or anything. What I also thought was weird is when they showed the clip of the suite being empty, the bathtub was just full of water. Like, pull the plug. What are you doing?
Do you think Patrick had a bath?
Oh, I think Patrick had a bath. And you know what? Yeah. That's the most relatable thing that I can think of. Like, I would definitely have gone in there to have a bath.
If you're just waiting, you're just, like, trying to keep it, like, occupied. Because,
like, you can just run out in a towel and be like, don't, I'm in here if someone comes in to, like, hook up. Like, it's fine. I don't know.
He should have use the bathroom and ruin the vibe.
Oh God, are you talking about not flushing? Disgusting. That's the worst thing that's been said today.
Jenny is like, you know what? When Lana went offline, Patrick should have eaten a lot of fiber and really ruined the energy of the private suite.
I wasn't even thinking of not flushing. I was like, okay, the smell would just be pungent.
Yeah, I didn't even consider the not flushing, but that would really ruin the vibe.
Well, I assumed if it's all about like timing. Because, like, a smell can leave, but if you leave the stuff that gives the smell, then it will never leave.
It's like potpourri.
Poopery, more like
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Poopery is actually a product that you use to make the toilet.
But I'm this is saying, the literal poo.
He could have, if he wasn't going to stay in the suite the whole night, he at least could have done more to make it not an attractive place to
go. I don't think any odor was going to keep Nathan and Holly off.
Stinky Home Alone, like leave like smelly booby traps all over this room.
There's a couple jars of farts like all across the room.
I will say this. Holly and Nathan, definitely the wet bandits in this instance.
Gross. But you're right. You are absolutely right.
What's worse is the second movie, and it was Sticky Bandits.
Well, it started as the wet bandits, then they ended up by the end of the night. This is not the worst podcast I've done in my life, but what happened?
I'm so sorry.
I'm just proud to be a part of it.
You know what? Every day I stray further from God's path.
Join us.
So after this meeting, Nathan and Holly feel really guilty. And Nathan's like, I just need to show that we're a good match. That makes all of this worthwhile. And it's like, Nathan. And this is where Patrick calls a family meeting because he has grown as much as he could in here and he is sending himself home.
I mean, he has grown as much as he can. Didn't he say his dick is hard every single day he's there?
Yeah.
He said his dick is hard 24 hours a day. That is not healthy.
He stays grown.
There's an episode of Grey's Anatomy where a guy's penis stays hard the whole time. And at one point, they pull out a big-ass needle to pull out the blood to make it go stop.
What are you doing here?
Because it's dangerous. You can't just be hard all day. It's not healthy.
I knew that. I didn't need the explanation. And you, people can't see this, but like you held out your hand like you're holding a needle.
It was long.
It was a really big syringe. But you know what? It didn't even work because the guy had something neurological going on. They did that and then it just came right back up.
Maybe that's actually what happened with Patrick, is that he finally he meditated an orgasm and he was like, all right, I'm good, guys.
How much does that cost?
Well, there's no money to lose at that point.
I think you have to go in the overdraft at that point. Like, if he's meditating, you got to pay completion. Like, you've got to pay for that.
You got a bill.
I think what happened was he got bored. That's literally what happened.
He's like, how did it take so long for him to get bored? So
I guess, yeah.
Or maybe somebody finally gave him the advice he needed to, call Dr. Mike and get the situation.
He needed a urologist.
Somebody get this man a urologist.
Someone tweet at Dr. Mike and be like, if someone's penis is hard 24 hours a day, what does it mean?
Yeah. Would you like to speak to this man?
what would you tell this patient?
He would have told him to masturbate for sure. 100%.
I mean, but what if it didn't go down?
Well, that's the thing, is we don't know.
Puya's still so horrified as to what I said.
I've just kind of tuned you silent. Out. He's still thinking about the needle. Something I don't want to hear.
I'm sorry, Puya.
It's okay.
So Lana, again, is like, just so you remember, you currently have $0, but there will be tests and opportunities to get more money, but not for all of you. And this is where Lana sends just Nathan home. Because Holly and Savage. Nathan have broken the rules so many times, but one of you has less regard for the rules. And so Nathan.
She's right, though.
True.
Yeah, Nathan is gone. But he gets another chance. And they send Nathan to, like, what did they call the purgatory place on F-Boy Island, Jenny?
Is it
like Brogatory?
Yeah, it's Brogatory.
Like, they send him to Brogatory.
It was essentially like that.
Like,
yeah.
I was like, this is F-Boy Island.
But no Nikki Glaser. So.
Oh my God. Imagine if Nikki Glaser was.
Give me there. Nikki Glaser over Brendan Durrell. Please.
I would love Nikki Glaser to be there for the Yoni exercise. I think that she can really add another layer to it.
Yeah. That's the way to make this show better.
Yeah. That's what we need. Make comedians do the workshops, not like mindfulness experts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Nathan's going to do an intensive one-on-one workshop to see if he can really figure his shit out. And like the entirety of his workshop is literally him just like, they make him scream out his sexual tension and then talk about feelings.
They basically just had him do all of the workshops that they already did, but like just made him try again.
Yeah.
Like they already did the screaming. Like what? They already did the key word. Like Brendan gave him the choral and it was like the words and what they represented. It was the exact same workshop as the one where they wrote the words on the canvas and then threw like paint balloons at it. Like it was the exact same concept. It's just like, okay, you're literally going to do the same workshops except for you're not with your friends laughing anymore. So you have to take it more seriously, apparently.
Yeah.
You think that the RHAP podcasters, if we did some of these workshops, it would like help us as a network grow?
In you think what way?
Bonding activities?
Yeah, like as bonding act, like for just like a professional development.
We do a bonding activity every week, and that's questioning each other intensively every Sunday. I don't realize
that's true. You're right, but what if we questioned ourselves and then
or what if we questioned at it? Our genitals? In the presence of each other.
That's what they do on the show.
I don't like, here's the thing. I am open to the concept that having a conversation with your genitals is going to do something for you. I'm open to that possibility.
Right.
I don't think I need to do it with my friends. I think I could do that in my own time. That's just my theory. Like I'm open to the idea that it would work. I've never tried it. Maybe
great
I will.
Great theory.
I don't know.
Have you tried floral arrangements?
Those are some ugly ass floral arrangements too. Like, why did they make them so ugly? Like, we get it. You don't have to just put a daffodil where the clit is. We know. Like, we get it.
Some of them boys probably don't know. So they
exactly.
needed it.
Well, they weren't there to learn anything.
Some of the viewer boys probably needed it.
It could have been the bonus part of the workshop. It's like, okay, now, ladies, explain where the clit is.
Well, but some of them drew like a butterfly, so it wasn't really going to be helpful. But I think it was...
Show them where the antenna is.
I think it was Bo's, where she would like put just like a giant flower right there and was like, and this is for my clitoris. It's soft. It's like, okay. I don't think that's what it looks like.
I would hope not.
Oh, okay. So I was like, how did we get here? I want to quickly talk about this. So Nathan, this is where the show starts losing me, is that here.
Oh, yeah.
So yes, Nathan gets picked.
I was like, good. For the first time ever, someone got the money to zero. Punish them so that people might be a little bit more careful moving forward.
We don't want them to be careful. We want them to lose the money.
Maybe a little bit.
A little bit. If you get to zero, there should be punishment. Lose the money. Get to 5K. I'm fine with that. If you've made it go to zero, and him, especially how much he's done, get him out of there. It's been over 100K at least. Get him out of there. The fact that he goes through this one-on-one workshop with the mindfulness guide, and it's the same workshop. This was the most skippable part of the whole show for me now, because I've already seen it. And I don't need Nathan being like, so how it was before is I would be like, hey, Holly, do you want to come here? And like, we're banging.
The puppets.
Like, yeah, I was like, you're using the puppets wrong.
I skipped it.
The puppet thing. That was the right learned anything. I just don't believe it. Like, you can't make me think that.
Full of bullshit.
I think it goes back to what Jenny said before. Just now that they finally had sex, Nathan can see a little bit. He has that.
It's called post nut clarity. Thank you.
Yeah. PNC.
Yes. And so, and like, that's what I'm saying, a real strategic king would have just gotten the job done quicker. Learn from Stefan's tattoo.
And to me, it just felt like the biggest stretch where Nathan on the way out, Lana's like, I have noticed for the first time in this retreat that you have felt regret. Like, yeah, you're making him leave free booze and money and hanging out with people.
Yeah, he lost $200,000 basically. He has regrets.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have regret about that. He's like, oh, my opportunity to make future money is now being taken from me prematurely. That's what he regrets.
It's just hilarious how the show wants to convince us that these people, any of these people, not just Nathan, have learned anything from the quote workshops. Like, you're gonna sit here and tell me that Nathan did this whole thing on a deserted island, is what they made me feel like, and then come back to this island and join the villa again and leave the show with what he learned? No, he's from the same stuff. Well, and
like, honestly, the other thing too is like, the show tries to frame itself as the self-development like haven, but at the end of the day, if people are only abstaining because they're trying to make money, they're not learning anything. They're just trying to make money. Like, it's just inherently flawed as a concept. Yeah.
They're being motivated instead by sex, by money. They're not learning anything about their emotions or opening up. They're just like, okay, I have to choose between having sex or making some money, and that's it.
Yeah, it's just episode 9 was really hard to watch. Holly says she feels like she's grieving a death.
Shut up, Holly.
She's just dramatic.
Like, she is weeping. Like, everyone's just comforting her the whole episode, and the only other things that happen is one, Hetty asks Georgia to be his girlfriend, and she's like, oh no, we're just friends.
Yeah.
And like, we build a meal out of Georgia is like a wonderful person for just like learning to not ghost people, and just like that's an issue I have, that the fact that she's even in contention to win at the end, because 100%. it's like I'm going ahead a little bit, but like, Izzy calls it out, and it was actually so true that she still has a lot of growing to do, because it's like, oh, so you actually just had a conversation with this person instead of like, you're not opening yourself up to anyone. You're keeping your walls up completely. Yeah. You're just telling people you don't like them instead of like,
Not like, the whole point of this retreat is to embrace emotional connections and bonds over physical ones. And she, like, you know, gets the first kiss with a couple of them. And then when they try to get it to the emotional, but she's like, nope, we're just friends. Back away, please. And to me, it's like, well, you're not really embracing the workshop. You're not really embracing the retreat. You're just, you don't want to deal with this man, which is completely fine, by the way. But you are not doing what the show has said you are meant to do. So I agree with you, Jenny. When I saw, we'll get to the finale. We'll get to the finalists, but my mind was blown that these were the candidates that Lana picked.
Yeah. I was absolutely
Lana's
shocked.
Black.
Yeah.
I think maybe she is malfunctioning.
Yeah,
I do think so.
Like, she maybe does have a virus and needs an upgrade.
I mean, well, realistically, the options weren't great, but
yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, what I think the problem was the fact that they brought in a bunch of random people who were just basically like supporting characters. So of course they're going to bring the people that first joined as finalists. Just to make sense.
The other thing that happens in episode 9 is that Harry really builds up to asking Bo to be his girlfriend. First, he goes to try to talk to her when she's doing her makeup with all of the other women. And it's like super awkward. Like, what is he doing?
He said, this is the perfect time to ask Bo to be my girlfriend. And I'm like, aren't there two other people sitting in the pool?
It's so awkward. Like, Puya, would you ever ask someone to be your girlfriend in front of their friends?
No. What? No, it has to be like a one-on-one situation, no recording devices. Like, I am not going to, I can't do it. I can't do it. And then, because even the off chance of me catching an L or being told like they don't feel the same way, I want to evaporate into the ground immediately. And I can't do that when four other people now have a point of view of how it went down. And
then you
now
have to play it cool. No worries. Yeah, fine.
You know, I just thought it was a feeling, but you know, it was nothing. Anyway, you want a drink? I'll get you a drink. All right. Yeah great. Right? Like,
I find the act of like, I'm going to ask her to be my girlfriend. Like when you're grown adults, like making it like you're asking her to the prom or something. Like it was just a little cringe for me.
I feel like in like the real world is just like, hey, I want to delete the apps. Another person's like, hey, me too. It's like, okay, I guess we'll just date each other. And then you're like, cool, it's sorted.
It's mostly like an unset, like an unspoken thing. At least that's how I've experienced it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think I've had many like, okay, so like you're going to be my girlfriend now. Like, okay, I'm going to start calling you my boyfriend. Like it's, I don't know. I've never had the like really the formal. And I think it does happen in some cases where it's like, we really need to DTR or whatever.
You can definitely have the conversation where it's like, no, let's make it super clear. Like,
but like the way that he's acting like it needs to be a perfect magical moment where like he's like asking her to marry him. It's just like
it's cartoonish. That's how it's going to
mean anything in a couple weeks anyway.
It's so funny. But you know what? Lana is like, you know what? Let me step in. She gives them a one-on-one date. They get to go on a yacht and he finally gets the nerve to ask her. She says yes and they get the green light so they can kiss again. So this is only, I think, their second kiss because they've never broken the rules and they've only gone green lighters once.
Because they had the other date when they gave a date to them and Nathan and Holly, and Nathan spent the whole day being like, oh, I am really feeling like I'd like this green light. It's like, that's not how it works, bro.
He's like, I like you.
Is it green?
We've had a lot of fun together.
Is it green? You look very beautiful.
Do you think the watch is broken?
But
production,
yeah, that's true.
I think I got the broken one.
Do you know who my mom is?
But it's true. Like, I will give Harry and Bo this. While they like to break rules in the real world, they were pretty good together and they only ever kissed when they got green lights.
Yeah.
They didn't really grow that much, did they? Except for that Harry originally said, physically, Bo is nothing I would ever be into outside of this villa.
Maybe that's why they're not a couple. she saw that and was like, fuck you, dude.
Can you, like, if I ever found out that someone was like, oh, yeah, Kirsten's just physically not my type, but then was like trying to be. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when you also factor in, oh, he initially went after someone else, but then couldn't get that and was like, eh, Kirsten will do. No, that is not happening. That is still not happening. Yeah.
In a show where it's like you're actually, you know, trying to find a connection so that you can potentially win some money. It's like, it's one thing. It's like if, you know, it's just real life and maybe they were interested in somebody else and it didn't work out. And then after time, like whatever, that connection grew. But it's like when it's in an actual scenario where you're on a show and you're meant to find a connection, it's like there could be more blatant than it's just like onto something else, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh boy,
it's horrible.
Yeah.
But
this is we have to root for somebody, right? Like,
exactly.
Nathan and Holly are a disaster. They have no regard for anything. I mean, even after the whole workshop, I'm like, he just Nathan is not in love with this girl.
I think that Nathan would have liked Brianna more than Holly, but I just think that he had lost so much money with Holly that he felt he had to stick it out. That's how I feel. Or also that he felt probably it would be easier to have full sex with Holly in the villa.
And I think that these people are also like cognizant of like how they're being portrayed and viewed. Like Holly says a couple times, she's like, oh, I don't like that we're like the antagonists at this point. Like, I want to be viewed as a good person. It's like, do you want to be a good person, or do you want to just be viewed as a good person? So I'm sure that a part of that is Nathan not wanting to be the bad guy that dumps the girl that he, you know, spent all this money with to be the 100% villain of the season.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it is reality TV, and that's just how they just care about how they look to the outside world.
Yeah.
And they're probably like checking all the comments and the hashtags on Twitter and stuff. Well, and like for sure.
People are not this hot without caring what other people think about them. Like it's just not like nobody's just effortlessly this hot. It's just not possible.
Yeah.
Unless you're Beyonce.
That's what I tell myself to make. I gotta tell you,
Beyonce, she puts an effort too.
Yeah, fair enough.
Beyonce works hard. She's a whole team.
No.
She has a team, but I think that if she were to just roll out of bed, she's the one person who I could be like, okay.
Yeah, she still would be hot as hell. I'm not out here trying to insult Beyonce by any means. I'm just saying, like, she has a whole team that contributes to her ability to just roll out of bed. You know?
I hear you, girl.
No, I get not trying to disparage Beyonce by any means.
Don't get the I said no. Remember.
That was me. Oh my God.
Celebrities in general.
Yeah.
Have people that help them
be hot.
Be hot. Help them help them amplify their own natural hotness.
Just like rich people in general. I used to be friends with this girl whose mom didn't wash her own hair.
Oh my God, what a dream.
She went for blowouts because she could just afford to just always go for a blowout when she
needed. If I could have somebody else
do my hair.
No, she showered, but she would never wash her hair.
Oh. But someone else would do it for her.
How often would she get her hair done, like washed by somebody?
I think it was like 1 to 2 times a week. Because like you can make a blowout last, right? Like you don't need to do it every day. But yeah, that's like, to me, when I think about like what my ideal future would be like, I think about this woman who did not have to wash her own hair.
Yeah.
But I feel like that makes it harder to like wash behind your ears. Like I just feel like it makes it more difficult. Like I
you get a shower, you get a shower cap.
You could probably still get like soap in the hair. You're just not doing the act of washing your hair. Listen, this woman was just supporting the economy. All right.
Yes, exactly. It's like what I aspire to. You know,
that is like, actually the dream.
Like, is that, and like, also just like the feeling of someone else washing your hair feels so good.
Oh my God, the head massage.
Like, imagine getting the scalp massage like 1 to 2 times a week.
I'd be a different person.
Yeah. Like, tension, anxiety, no, it'd be gone.
Yeah.
Also, when you have that much money, you could just like buy as much Xanax as you want, right? So, like, life is easy. Okay, so at the end of this, sorry, I that was not relevant at all.
Was it though? Was
it not? Listen, people don't come here for relevance, okay? So at the end of the episode, this is where Nathan comes back to the party to surprise everyone, and Nathan and Holly are told that they are going to be put to the ultimate test in the private suite. If they don't break any rules, they will win $90,000 back for the group.
Can I point out why this wasn't the ultimate test? Because this whole season, they've been doing this where they do the challenge, the test, but it's in secret, and then there's a reveal later. They were so sure Nathan and Holly would mess up that they not only told them what the challenge was, but then said, also go outside and tell all your friends that if you two had sexy times with a Z, then you will not get any money with a Z. Okay, tell them right now. But if you get it, you get 90K. So
also, they've already banged it out.
Right. This was the most nothing challenge of all time. And this to me, you know, Rob talked about last episode. Just do everything, get the money to zero at the beginning. Trust me, they'll give you money back. This is proof of it. They injected 90K back into the show just like that for a couple who have already, the only couple who have slept together already, were given the opportunity to do this. And even then, there was a little bit of, nonsense going on in the 24 hours they were in there or whatever.
Well, yeah, at the end of the episode, it shows them being like super flirty in the suite, and so I was like, oh, they're definitely not breaking the rules. Mm-hmm. Like they would have wanted to shock us with them breaking the rules. So I knew at that moment. But what we find out in episode 10 is that Holly was purposefully getting Nathan hard in this moment. Just evil. To not have sex with him. That's mean.
That's evil. That is
like,
evil.
It's like a little funny, but
wait,
also,
did you say that was hilarious?
Yeah, because I think that she had good reason to question whether this guy was actually interested in her for more than sex. And so I think that it was funny that she was like, I'm really going to test this man because he apparently has come back a different person. And also the show is literally reinforcing that Nathan is the problem. So she's got like this, like, sense of justice, you know what I mean, where she's like, I wasn't the problem here, he's the problem, so I'm really gonna make sure that he's tested.
But she shouldn't have that kind of confidence. Like, I agree that Nathan was the bigger of the two, but I mean, listen, we all know this, right? We've all, you know, it takes two.
Yeah, so if she was never intending on like following through and she just wanted to punish him a little bit, then like I kind of understand what she was doing there, but I don't know that she had, if he really did start going for it, whether she had the power to hold
back. Yeah, like at every point, whenever Nathan has tried to hook up with Holly, she has like, gone for it because she was so attracted. And like, Nathan is a very, very attractive man. Like I think that it makes sense to be very like, to find that appealing.
But then he speaks.
He's never had anything good to say.
Maybe that's why she likes making out with him so much, because it shuts him up.
Okay. You know what? I think we've broken new ground here. But they do not hook up, even though Holly purposefully was grinding on him, which, again, it's mean, but I do think it's a little funny as well.
I mean, I thought for a second that like they were going to deduct something. They're like,
yeah, when they were like, when Lana said, I was most shocked that Holly was the one who was doing tempting stuff. And I thought, oh, Holly goofed. They're about to like not get any money. But then I figured, you know, it's the final episode. There's no world where we're going to end the season with $0.
And you imagine? I'm going to overlook it because we need to give something to somebody.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if in the final episode they were like, well, $0, everyone go home.
Bye.
That would be so funny. View some flight staff on your own bill.
Also, I just feel like I think they know that if they had $0, and that would mean that the show's premise is completely just off, and it's just like literally what they thought that they were coming for, which the show just becomes Pleasure Island.
It does.
Like, so they just know that there's no point to the show anymore. And I think the contestants should know too.
I think that's why at the beginning that they're so willing to spend some of the money. They're like, I didn't necessarily think that I was getting a pot of money in the first place. Like, I came here to have fun. So I'm going to spend this money I didn't even know I had like a few days ago.
I also just think like, I was shocked that when they got to $0, everyone just was like, okay, no more hooking up. Like, I would have thought, like, well, like, at this point, you have nothing to lose. Like, just go for it, you know? Like, I was shocked that Izzy and Jackson didn't just have sex right then and there.
Do you think, so big question here, do you think that if people did more stuff after it hit zero, that it would just stay at zero, or would they have hit negative numbers? Like, okay, it's negative 20. I guess that wouldn't make sense because
they're not going to pay back.
They're not going to pay money. Yeah, I guess
maybe exactly. Just reduce what they were willing to like let them win back.
Maybe
their stipend, like,
I think they must have told them, if you do anything beyond here, you will lose the chance to win some money back. And let me tell you, we've got something planned for you to get money back, so it's gonna happen.
I think like with regards to the stipend, I'm pretty sure each of these people made max $2,000 just to be on the show plus their flights. Like, it was not a lot of, it's not like a Survivor stipend.
And I think from the time that they like hit $0 and the show ended was like probably like barely over 24 hours.
It was barely any time. So the 90 grand is back in the pot and Nathan and Holly get a private date where they take a yacht to an island.
The show literally this season, I think the biggest flaw in the show and something that's going to be a problem for them moving forward is it just felt like they kept rewarding Nathan and Holly.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The biggest in the history of the show, the biggest violators of the rules and the prize money were given dates, were given suite access, were given a redemption arc. And if you're anybody moving forward, like you are, just come in there and do all these things. Like, do not be on the straight and narrow. Don't be the bad boy turned good boy. That is not going to work out for you. Like, go full to the, like, do everything. Because they were given a date. They were given communication there. He gets to tell her he thinks he loves her because what else is left to say, which is a very weird way to go about it. Right? And then they get, it's like, oh, I guess, like, we've done everything. So what else? I guess I love you now. I guess
we've had sex now, so I guess I love you. Is that how that works?
And I think that people have sex every day without being in love, actually.
Right.
Every minute.
Yeah. I wrote in my notes, if Nathan wins even a dollar in the show, I will riot. I was sick at this point. I was like, do not reward this. I hate this. We are not praising Nathan for the bare minimum.
Absolutely not. So they get a green light on this date after he says he loves her. We also get what a nothing. Georgia apologizes to Stevan for not being upfront about not liking him before.
Yeah.
If that's what growth is, then we all must be like the most
grown
people like, ever.
So I'm telling myself.
Yeah, the measurements of growth on Too Hot to Handle. Like, Stevan comes out here and leaves looking like some kind of philanthropist when all he really did was, maybe I've been humbled a little bit because no one took to me. And maybe it calmed me down a little bit. I'll tell you this, in his reunion clip, Stevan was like, I wanted to be on a new path, but once I got home and I had my phone back, it was back to normal. Like, nothing changed.
Shocking. Of course it was.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
Not one. Like, I think that the thing is with people who are like dating casually or whatever, and like, that's the other thing I don't like about this show, is it so moralizes like not having sexual activity, like that kind of thing. It's like, people are going to date and people are going to work. Like, people are going to make all sorts of choices. And I don't think it's really fair to say that anything is like right or wrong when it's between consenting adults. Right.
Exactly.
And so that's what really frustrates me about the show, is the moralizing of it all. But it's like, if these people who are all models want to go home and just hook up, that's fine.
And they're not all ready to settle down. Like, they got cast on a show thinking that it was about hooking up. This isn't necessarily your target audience or like target demographic of people that are going to like have to, you know, become relationship people. Maybe they just aren't there yet and like, they don't want to be.
Like, people are going to like do the hookup thing if they want to, then not everybody will, until they're ready to do something else, right? Like
that's, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but that's kind of why I do a little bit sympathize with Georgia, because I feel like, okay, well, she's just not interested. I think that the way that the show framed her was like, oh, so much growth for telling somebody I'm just not going to ghost them. I feel like they kind of screwed her in that way. But so that's why I kind of feel a little bit of sympathy for her, because it's very clear she's not in the place to want to settle down, judging by what, again, the guy whose name I keep forgetting how to pronounce was saying to her, and pressuring her. And I think that, you know, she's just there to have fun. And I feel like they kind of screwed her a little bit.
And she didn't shy away from that. She was very open about, this is what I want to do. Like, she's the first person to break the rules were her and Izzy. So
like, let's just like break the seal here. Yeah.
And I was all fine with that. For me, the problem was, why'd you nominate her into the finals when we can all see what she was about and how this wasn't really for her. Well, and she was very upfront about it.
The thing is, for me, before we get to the finals, we should talk. They did have one final workshop. I didn't write anything down because they all basically just
What was the workshop? The names of the fireworks?
They all said a word that represented their journey.
Yeah, a word for like their new selves. They tied the word to a firework and they set off the fireworks.
Did you notice the amazing Photoshop of like the fireworks in the words that they
Yes. Yes. I was like, stop this. It was
like wisdom in the sky. And I'm like, oh, are we supposed to believe the fireworks actually spelled wisdom? Like, encourage?
Like, it was horrible. That was so stupid. But yes. Okay. So then we get to the finals. And so as we've already alluded to, the three people that were nominated to be in the finals were Georgia, Nathan, and Harry and Beau. And so like, based on the show that we watched, other than Harry and Beau, who could even like, I think that this finals would have made more sense if they had Harry, Beau, and Holly as the three nominated people. Because I feel like Holly showed more growth than Nathan did.
I thought it was absolutely savage that Harry and Beau got a place together and Holly just didn't get anything.
Yeah.
They were gonna give Nathan, like, they were gonna give Nathan the chance $90,000. And Holly was just like, nah.
I think that Harry and Beau should have been separate and then Holly, and then they would have had to vote on them.
I also think that, like, besides it, you know, without knowing anything else, Harry and Beau seem to make the most sense. On top of that, I think if you have the opportunity to give a little bit of money to two people as opposed to give a lot of money to one person, I think that a lot of people are going to lean to, oh, well, these are all more my friends or family at this point. I am going to give Harry and Beau $90,000 that they can split. They get they get 45 each as opposed to giving Nathan the idiot 90 or... You know,
yeah.
90 to
and
Georgia.
I'm very happy they did that, where they put them as a pair, because I swear Nathan was like one vote away from winning, which is insane.
Nathan should not have been there. Like, Nathan, like, if it was going to be one person from that couple, I really do think it should have been Holly.
I think it should have been neither.
Would have been in there?
Low key, I think if Patrick hadn't left, he would have been in the finals. Low key. I think the dude comes in as the tour guide who's like out here laying pipe all over the island, then, you know, tries to serenade a woman, gives his honest, you know, feelings. She turns him down. He ends up becoming like the supportive father figure, trying to, you know, block all the people losing the money. And then everyone respected him. Everyone like cried when he left. I think he would have been nominated and I think he could have won it.
I think if he was in the top, he would have won because everyone apparently loved him so much.
They didn't show us that.
Chris
but
is just like, it's the same too. Like when they bet on Holly and Nathan in the suite, it was Patrick's idea to trust them. And everyone was like, well, when Patrick talks, we just listen. And I was like, since when?
Exactly.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, since when do we just trust Pat? And it's so, yeah, I think he would have definitely gotten it. But like, I just don't know who would even be nominated to win, or like, do they just do it's a final two where it's between Harry and Beau?
Well, there was a clip before they went and announced the finalists where like a bunch of the guys were talking about like who it could be. And it was the names that were dropped were Harry, Steven, and Nathan. And I said, this is sexist as shit. Because it's always going to be like, oh, let's reward the poor man that had to resist his urges. Like, fuck off.
Seriously.
So at least the finalists actually did include some women, but I do agree that, like, again, I would have rioted if Nathan won the show. You would have had a very different Jenny on this podcast. I would have been so pissed.
If Nathan had won any money, I might have honestly canceled the podcast. Like,
sorry.
Or been like, not we're going to cover episodes 8 and 9, but we won't cover the finale. And and at the end, just been like, yeah, by the way, Nathan won. And that's all you're going to get from me.
The
like,
show actually got canceled after this episode. Sorry.
So weird. I know that's not normally how Netflix works, but my Netflix actually was canceled at that point.
I'm not going to bother looking into it. I just think that that's how it ended.
But and then everyone votes, and it got down to, on votes, a final two of Harry and Beau versus Nathan, and Harry and Beau win. They each get $45,000, and that is Too Odd to Handle season 3. Also, at the end when the winners get announced, then everyone's wristbands turned green and
y'all just still jumping on each other.
Like Izzy, I liked Izzy and Georgia had a kiss when everything turned green, which I thought was very funny. It was a nice bookend to the season.
Exactly. The bookend, yes.
But other than that, it was just Nathan and Holly and Harry and Beau. And I was like, I don't want to watch these people make out anymore. Like, there's not even a stake now for me to watch
I don't stand any of these couples.
Like, I don't just want to watch people hooking up in general. Like, that's not what I prefer to watch. So, like, if there's no stakes to it, I'm like, well, I gotta go. I was skipping.
I was like, you know, the forward 10 seconds button. I was like tapping that shit.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh God.
We did
that's
it.
That's protecting your peace. Yeah. So I understand.
It really was.
Yes. Always protect your peace when watching Too Hot to Handle.
Yeah.
That's good advice. And if that means not watching Too Hot to Handle and just listening to the podcast, you're welcome. We're here.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm probably going to do next time.
From here on out. How do they do Too Hot to Handle season 4? Because, you know, they seem to make it, you know, this season be like, okay, so this is going to work a little better because we did this right after season 2. So we can reuse some of the same kind of strategies. Do you think that they need to change some of the plan for this show to make season 4?
I mean, I think that it should be less episodes. I think it should be 8 episodes, first of all. And I think that they do need to change some structures to just make, like, they need to make it more exciting at the very start and at the very end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's all about the middle.
Like, the middle of the show is entertaining. Like, it's messy as hell, but it's like entertaining to watch.
The end was extremely bland to me. Like the last
season 9 was terrible, or sorry, episode 9 was a slog.
Mash 9 and 10 together, shorten it, cut some stuff out. We're good.
They could do, and honestly, combine episodes 9 and 10 and make it a 30-minute episode. Mm-hmm. Is someone drag racing on your street?
Yeah, I was about to mute, but it was too late. It's just drag racing going on my street. Saturday afternoon drag race.
Amazing. But yeah, so do any of you have any other like final thoughts on Too Hot to Handle? I feel like I have nothing else to say.
Yeah, I feel like everything got covered. Ultimately, it was fun. Everything I would have criticized on what they need to do for next season, all of you mentioned. So we're on the same page there. Maybe they decide to change the way the final nominees work because Lana should be like the right person because everyone will just pick their friends. But with these nominations, take that key away from Lana as well. Lana does not know what she's doing there. But no, I mean, I think what they did right this time was they just gave us all the episodes. I like that they did that. Imagine being in a position where you were waiting to watch episode like 9 and 10 on a final drop. That would have been so bad.
Yeah,
so,
it was. I was glad they went back to season 1 where all of it dropped at once.
Yeah,
like that was perfect. That was definitely.
Let me decide how I consume this.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I will say that like I laughed out loud watching this show a lot. And I know that that's probably not the intention of this show, but I found a lot of comedic value in this season that I feel like I don't remember laughing this much in season 2. So I appreciated that. It was a comedy for me. I had a great time with it. So
I think they definitely intend comedy in this show. I think that's what they want from us.
Well, the cast don't.
Oh, no, not the cast. No. But yes, the production,
the editors, yes. Yeah. So mission accomplished.
I think that for me, my first experience watching any kind of show like this, like I'm very picky with my TV. I just watch what I like. And I tried something new and it was a Netflix reality show. Like I said, I make fun of Netflix reality shows and I will continue to make fun of them, seeing as this one was the goofiest one. So yeah. Hey, you never know. Maybe I'll watch Yeah, maybe I'll watch season 4. I'll listen to the podcast for sure, but maybe I'll watch with you.
Well, Kirsten is going to like make you watch it to, exactly. to podcast with you again. So
that's why I said it.
Listen, okay. I somehow have become the person who talks about hot dummies on islands, and I reserve the right to talk to my friends about it. Okay. So deal with it.
I'm keeping these shows alive with your friendship.
Yes.
I got to make sure as many people watch as possible so it doesn't get canceled. But thank you all of you so much for joining me on this adventure. I know it's a lot to ask someone to watch a full season of Too Hot to Handle. So I appreciate you all very, very much. So I guess we should go around and do plugs. Lavina, do you want to go first?
Sure. So we'll be doing some Celebrity Big Brother coverage coming up soon. So that's going to be super fun. But you can follow me. I basically just use Twitter, but I do have Instagram. Kind of don't open the app, but you know, maybe I'll start doing it again. You never know. Both of them.
You follow Harry Johnson 92.
There you go. My handle on both those apps is LPavs with two S's.
Hell yeah. Jenny, where can people find you?
You can find me on social media at Jenny Autumn. We are still going strong on the Joe Millionaire for Richer or Poorer recap with Rob. I'm having the best time with that. So that will be hopefully coming back next week. But now Celebrity Big Brother has come into the picture. So I will also be covering some of that. I believe I will be on a recap next week sometime. So check me out there. Oh, yeah. And yeah, other than that, just living life. So this Amazing. Has been great.
Thank you so much. And Puya, where can people find you?
They can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. They can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I do stream that 3-4 times a week. We had a whole Fall Guys tournament this week. We do a weekly Goose Goose Duck lobby on Sundays. It's always a good time there. Definitely come check me out there. I will be on the draft for said Big Brother season coming up this upcoming Monday. So I'm excited for that. I have some plans and some schemes to hatch out during that draft. It'll be fun. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm ready. And then obviously 90 Day Fiancé. Always going strong, always there. I've been covering this latest season with Rob. And then The Single Life just got a reunion episode, which, let me tell you, this tell-all is messy. I can't wait to talk all about it. And I'll be back talking live feed updates Friday mornings as well during the Big Brother season.
Hell yeah. And if people are looking to hear more from me, you can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. And I'm also covering, doing a weekly rewatch of BoJack Horseman with Lindsay Wilson over on BoJack Horse Pod. So you could check me out there. And I'm assuming I'll do something during the Celebrity Big Brother, but I don't know what yet. So check that out. And if you've enjoyed this Too Hot to Handle coverage, thank you so much. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review over on the brand new Hot Dummies on Islands feed. That is robhasawebsite.com/hotdummies. Please check us out there. And you will hear from me again when there are more Hot Dummies on Islands. So until then, see you next time.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.